I am so unhappy. I am so grieved. I am so sad. Is that the way you're feeling? Do you feel like nothing again is ever going to make life right? Are you battling depression? Are you having a hard time getting out of bed? Oh, beloved, the lesson today is about turning your sorrow into joy. It's about not necessarily being happy, but being satisfied with life. Remember our last lesson. It was about again. Again, there can be joy. Again, there can be the planting of vineyards. We're in the again. We're in the fact, yes, you may be mourning now, but that doesn't have to stay. You may be in sorrow now, but there is comfort. This is what Jeremiah 31 is all about. Jeremiah 31 is about this joy, this rejoicing that comes from our redemption, from our restoration, that comes from God moving in our lives. And this is what we want to look at. And it leads us right up to the most incredible part of all the book of Jeremiah, a part that has to do with you, because it's about the new covenant. Well, let's go back to where we left off. We're in Jeremiah chapter 31, and it says in verse 3, the Lord appeared to him, to Israel, from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Again, you will take up the tambourines and go forth to the dance of merrymakers. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters will plant and will enjoy them. In other words, you're not just going to take that seed and put it in the ground, but you're going to see that seed grow and grow and grow. You're going to come and pick the harvest of it. You're going to eat it. You're going to enjoy it. This is what he's saying here. Now watch what he says. For there will be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim, Ephraim was Samaria, the area of Samaria, will say, arise and let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. What he's saying is the kingdoms will no longer be divided. Those in Samaria will no longer be worshiping at Bethel and Dan and the golden calf and making their sacrifices, but they in turn will go down to Zion. They will go down to Jerusalem because the kingdom won't be divided. It will again be one. And so he says, thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. There is a day of joy coming. There is a day when the mourning is turned to joy. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country. I will gather them from the remotest parts of the earth. He's talking about the time when we look at our drawing that we played with all week. He's talking about this time at the end of Jacob's distress. He's talking about this millennial kingdom. He's talking about the time when Jesus will be recognized as King of Kings, when David will be over the throne of Israel. He says, among them will come the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child together, a great company. They will return here. They're coming home. They're coming back to the promised land. They're making Aliyah. They're going up to Jerusalem. It says, with weeping they will come, and with supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path, that they will not, so that they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim is synonymous with Israel. And Ephraim was one of the two sons of Joseph. And when Reuben defected, when Reuben didn't act right, God took the birthright from Reuben. He gave it to Joseph. And in turn, when Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, he put his hand on the head of Ephraim. He's saying, he's like my firstborn. Of course I'm going to take care of him. Of course he's going to be happy. I am a father to Israel. Do you need a father? If you are mourning, if you are crying, you don't need, in a sense, a lover. You need a father. You need a protector. You need someone that's over you, someone that's going to care for you. You say, you don't know the father I had. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what I've suffered. I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry. No father should ever act like that. No father should ever do that. But I want to tell you that there is a father that is above all that. And that is our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who was just and righteous in all of his ways. Our Father who cares for us. And so he says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands far off and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flocks. That shepherd is going to stand there with his staff, and he is going to watch over all of Israel. Now watch. I love it. I love it. It says, for the Lord has ransomed Jacob. He's paid the price of Jacob's redemption and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. So many times we look at a situation, how can I fight these people? How can I stand up against them? I don't have the prominence they have. I don't have the money they have. I don't have the connections that they have. Oh, but you have Father God. You have Father God. And as long as Father God is in your corner, then you're going to be all right. You say, but I went to court and I didn't get my child. I went to court and my husband, my wife ripped me off. That's all right. It's not all right. God will deal with them. I don't mean it that way, but I mean, it's not the end of the story. Listen to what he says. They will come and shout for joy at the height of Zion. They will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord. Look at what I've got. Look at this grain. Look at this wheat. Look at the new wine. Look at the oil over the young of the flock and the herd. And their life will be like a watered garden. And they will never languish again. What is he saying? He's saying this. Look at your time chart again. For all that you have been through, for all these years since 586 BC, all the way through, you have had Gentile dominion over you. You have had the nations trying to tell you what to do. You have been hated. You have been despised and everything. But know this. There is a day coming. And it's taking them beyond Jacob's distress, the time of Jacob's distress, to the time when they will be at ease in the land. And this is what he says. And their life will be like a watered garden. They will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men together. Can't you just see those Jewish men? Can't you just see them locking their arms and going in the circles and shouting and waving their hands in rejoicing in the Lord, the young and the old men together? For I, listen, will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. You know, my life was so messed up because of my sin, because of my immorality, and that. And I will never forget when someone showed me the scriptures, and that is that he will give you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. In other words, out of the ashes will come beauty. And I can tell you, that's what's happened in my life. That's what's happened since I've come to know Jesus Christ. He's worked on me and worked on me. He's taken me through trials and situations that I never thought I would go through. Some that are very, very sad and very, very painful. But I refuse to be defined by them, because God is my Father. And because of his promises, because of his word, which is yea and amen. And so this is what he says. I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. Verse 14, I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. There is that day when the mourning is going to pass. There is that day when the sorrow will be over if you belong to him. You may not see it in this life, but I will tell you, and we're going to see why, that no matter what comes in this life, you can be satisfied. You can walk at peace in the midst of a storm. And it's all because of the new covenant. And he's about to tell us about that new covenant. But first he says, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. And it's like a prophecy that takes us to Ramah was where the exiles went before some of them were carried off into Babylon. Ramah is where Jeremiah stood and had to make a decision about where he would go after the destruction. When he's talking about Rachel weeping for the children, it transfers to the New Testament when Herod goes in and slays every child to and under. And it's painful and it's mourning, and we should mourn and we should grieve. But this is what he says, restrain your voice from weeping, your ears from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. Restrain yourself. There is joy for mourning. There is comfort for sorrow. We'll see why in just a minute. As we began this program, if you're mourning, if you're battling depression, if you're just overwhelmed by sorrow, well, I want you to listen to this next verse in Jeremiah 31, verse 17. There is hope for your future. There is hope for your future. If you belong to God because of the new covenant, then there is hope for your future. He is the God of all hope. And as he's speaking to Israel, these things that he is saying to Israel, beloved, he's saying to us also. So listen carefully. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their territory. Now, what's the context? A wailing is heard in Ramah, and it's saying Rachel weeping for her children, and her children are being taken into captivity. But what God is saying is there's hope for the future. We're going to go, and we're going to get those kids, and we're going to bring them back to this land. They're going to be here for you. And so then he says, I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. You chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored. Now, what did you see in Jeremiah chapter 31:11? The Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the hand of he who was stronger than him. He is ransomed, he is redeemed, and then now what does it say? Bring me back that I may be restored. For you are the Lord my God. Because you are God, you will turn my mourning into joy. Because you are God, you will comfort me in my sorrow. Because you are God, you will bring me back. You are my God. And I want to tell you something. Because he is God, and because he is who he is, yes, he will do that. There is a future. There is a hope. He says, for after I turned back, I repented. I had a change of mind. It says, and after I was instructed, I smote my thigh. That hurt. I smote my thigh. What is he saying? I was instructed and I smote my thigh. You were right. I was wrong. It says, I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. You think about young people. I mean, they know it all. Sometimes I'm talking to my granddaughter, who's 12, who I see quite a bit, and I love her dearly, and she's just lives very, very close to us, and her mommy's with Jesus, and so I talk to her, and sometimes I'm telling her something, and she doesn't believe me, and she says, I know, and then we'll start the conversation. I know, you're 75, and I'm 12. You have more experience. You know more. Youth sometimes think that they know it all. They sit in judgment. And he's saying, this is what I was. And it says, but after I turned back, I repented. After I was instructed, I smote my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. And then he asks a question. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. Therefore, I will have mercy on him. Now, remember, Ephraim is synonymous with Israel. He says, yes, my child wasn't all they ought to be, but it's my child. And because it's my child, I yearn for them. And I want you to know that if you belong to God through the new covenant, you are his child. And even though you have rebelled in your youth, and even though you think that you have known it all and thinking that you know it all, you've turned around and you've walked your own way and you've done your own thing and you have asserted yourself, you're my child. You are my child. And you're going to smite your thigh and I'm going to deal with you. But you know what? I'm not going to lose you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to ransom you. He says, I certainly still remember him. Now listen to this and take it home. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Set up for yourself road marks. Place for yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway. Return the way by which you went. In other words, plan your path. You're coming home. You're coming home. I'm going to restore you. Return, O Virgin of Israel. Return to these your cities. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. You say, what does that mean? Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. The only thing we know is it's good. That's all we know. And then it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Once again, when I speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities, when I restore their fortunes. Remember, we saw this in Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of good. Not thoughts for calamity, to give you a future and to give you hope, and I will restore you. And he's been saying it, I will restore, I will restore, I will restore. These are the restoration, redeemed, restored chapters. And then he says, the Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. And he's going like this to Jerusalem, the Lord bless you, Jerusalem. O holy hill, O abode of righteousness, because when you come back, you may have been a little heifer in your youth, but you are going to walk in righteousness. It says, Judah and all of its cities will dwell together in it. The farmer and those that go about with flocks. Now listen carefully, for I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't say it's no use. I'm going to refresh you. You're going to feel great. I'm going to refresh you. He says, at this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Do you know who's speaking? Jeremiah, who was writing these things as God instructed him in a book. And apparently, in all of this, it came to him in his sleep. And he said, I awoke, and my sleep was pleasant. It has a good end. Your morning, get your rest. Go to bed. And when you wake up, open the book and read Jeremiah chapter 31. Read about the joy. Read about the mourning that is turned into joy. Read about the sorrow that is comforted. Read about the one that says, I am a father to you. Read about the one that ransoms, that redeems, that restores. And let him do it. Crawl into his arms and rest in the arms of your Abba, Father. It'll be all right then.
Do you love K. Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit PreceptsForLife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
So, precious one, what are you going to do with what you've heard? Especially if you're in a state of mourning, especially if you're fighting depression, especially if you're just overwhelmed with sorrow, what are you going to do? You've got to take action on what you've heard. I know that this was written to Israel, but you know that the things that were written beforehand were written for our instruction. They were written for our encouragement. So what is God's instruction? What is God's encouragement? What is God's picture for us as we look at Israel? The picture is this, that God loves with an everlasting love. And whatever he takes you through, he's drawing you to himself with loving kindness. And eventually the mourning will be turned into joy. We know that. He's going to wipe away all tears. There's going to be no more tears and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more death. The former things will pass away. The good is coming. That's your precept for life today. Your precept for life today is to not be overwhelmed with the situation you're in if it's difficult. But the precept for life is to run to the one who is your Father, who promises that he will give you comfort for your sorrow, that he will give you joy for your mourning, that he will give you a future and a hope. If you're his child, he has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are his child, he has promised you that all things work together for good. If you are his child, he has told you that if God is for you, if Jesus died for you, who can be against you? He has promised you that you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You say, how can I be sure of this? Just look at the cross. Just look at God's Son hanging there, forsaken by the Father, so that you might have God as your Father and never be forsaken. Look at him hanging there, paying for your sins so that you don't have to pay for your sins. And believe him, embrace him, and your mourning will be turned into joy. Everlasting joy because of everlasting love.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.